and welcome on Watches TV and welcome on Primetime Watchmaking in the News, where we talk about business, trends and obviously watches. And since our last edition, well, we did post a few other reports, such as the recap of the Singapore Watch Fair and its newer format, a full debrief on the results of the GPHG, another recap on the latest important watch auctions and how it can be interpreted, plus another report regarding some other lots recently put on auction by Nation. And talking auction, well, we also published one of those long interviews we like doing with Mr. Osvaldo Patrizzi, co-founder of Antiquorum, a man who played a significant role in making what the auction world has become very interesting. And finally, we also and surprisingly talked about the evolution of Chinese watchmaking. So if you haven't seen them yet, well, I highly recommend you to check the various links below. But coming back on the fresh news of this primetime, it will be kind of a Christmas edition of the show, featuring, of course, business news, watches and much more, to make us all merry and full of joy during this coming festive season. And as a quick reminder, this show is available as a podcast and you can find it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Okay, so let's now properly start, and we'll do so with Rolex, as this time there are some serious news about the crown in comparison to this fake story with the alleged letter from the CEO on cutting its production for 6 months because of energy costs, which would have been a serious earthquake for the market if it was true, but a story which really didn't make any sense. On the contrary, we know that production facilities are almost working 24/7 to satisfy demand, and to further increase this, well, the crown has just announced that they are planning to expand and build a huge new production site in Bulle, which is in the canton of Fribourg, meaning not traditionally in the Arc Jurassien region between Geneva and Basel, where you will almost find the entire Swiss watchmaking ecosystems from brand suppliers and even schools. So this expansion is quite a statement, and the deal is yet to be approved by the local authorities on December the 12th. But you can already say that this is a jackpot for the canton, because the green giant is planning to invest at least 1 billion Swiss franc, and the goal is to create by 2029 at least 2,000 new workplaces, including 500 places for apprentices, on a territory the size of 15 football fields. So definitely a massive investment, and Rolex hasn't yet been totally clear on exactly what will be this new site's mission, but just proves quite explicitly that they are on the move to continuously address production capabilities. But that's not the only news from Rolex for today, because on December the 1st, they announced their new program to certify pre-owned watches, which enables retailers in the brand's official distribution network to sell second-hand models that are certified as authentic. And with this, these watches will come now with a new 2-year international guarantee. Pretty cool and responsible, considering all the issues with either fake or partly fake secondhand Rolexes on the market. Well, apparently people from Rolex have been working on this project already for a while, because we've been hearing rumors and now it's just officially confirmed. So Rolex certified pre-owned watches will initially be available at Bucherer boutiques in 6 countries, Switzerland, Austria, Germany, France, Denmark and the UK, from the start of December 2022. And other official Rolex retailers who choose to be part of this program will be able to do so from spring 2023. In a nutshell, you will be able to purchase pre-owned watches that the brand itself has certified and guaranteed, and the press office stated that the aim of this project is to bring added value to the existing supply of pre-owned Rolexes. So it brings credibility to buying second-hand, and a hell of a pain for those who are reselling these watches, which do not count as official retailers. And it would be very interesting to see the price difference on this secondary market between these watches and those without the official certification. Anyways, quite an admirable soft expansion on the market, and please let us know what you think of such an endeavor. And yes, CPO initiatives have already been put in place by a few brands, so not a total novelty, but nevertheless a significant one from the number one brand. In the meantime, here is another piece of news to reflect on the patronal convention of the Swiss watchmaking industry, la Convention patronale de l'industrie horlogère suisse. published its new paper in November, in which it stated by 2026 the Swiss watchmaking community would hire or educate over 3,800 professionals and specialists to surpass the number of those who will retire by then. I mean, of course, the question is how it is going to engage young people to join the business, but it seems that the demand for this profession is once again on the rise and most likely will continue to be as such for several years. Interesting to notice that these numbers reflect only the big guys of watchmaking and not the independent and emerging brands. But I think that what we see now is a clear indication that the noble and hard profession of the watchmaker has certainly become very appealing, and obviously, well, this rejoices us. So speaking of which, let me come back to some numbers from the industry, which tell me that in the years to come, we might see a lot of investments, as with Rolex, but mostly in the e-commerce sector. According to Deloitte's analysis of the Swiss watch market, the e-commerce business is expected to double by 2030, and the pre-owned market to grow from 20 to 35 billion globally, which would represent almost twice as much as the Swiss primary market. I mean, of course, since COVID, everything went online, which explains this growth of e-commerce, and demand for Swiss watches has grown almost 12% in just 12 months, in 10 months compared to the same period last year. The Swiss Federal Department of Finance told us that in the first 10 months of this year, the Swiss industry has exported almost 13 million timepieces for an astonishing amount of 20.4 billion Swiss francs. So yet again, in terms of volume, numbers seem pretty stable, but in terms of value, it keeps growing, and 2022 will for sure be a record year. Most of the watches were sold in the summer month and September also, but I'm sure that these numbers will be higher for November and December thanks to the festive season, online sales, and customers under 40. And we've been saying this before, I mean, the significant boost to the market was made thanks to e-commerce, like we just mentioned, and millennials and Generation Y. I mean, these people are much more better, or let's say better educated in terms of watchmaking knowledge, and I hope we contributed to this at Watches TV, and they are interested in both new and vintage pieces. So the survey made by Deloitte shows that almost half of the respondents under the age of 40 are considering purchasing a second-hand watch next year, and bearing in mind the fact that prices of watches on the secondary market has returned to a more normal situation, well, this could indeed well happen. One more watch story, and we will then go straight to the new timepieces you don't want to miss. And I have a question for you. How much would you pay for a simple Swatch if we are not talking about a rare model or collaboration? Well, the Swatch I'm talking about is coming from His Holiness Pope Francis, who is well known for his austerity. And the black plastic model with the white dial was donated by Jorge Mario Bergoglio to a charity auction, Rago Wright, in Chicago, which was held on November the 30th. The quartz wristwatch from 2010 was sold for $56,250, but all sales proceeds, including the 25% buyer's premium, benefited the Brian Laviolette Scholarship Foundation, which supports students in the US. By the way, the 34mm swatch that His Holiness has worn since 2013 on every occasion seen in public is not the only Pontiff watch to appear on the auction scene. The silver Patek Philippe pocket watch from 1876, which once belonged to Pope Pius IX, was sold at Christie's for $25,000. Quite an humble price considering that for a long time Patek Philippe was one of the official purveyors of the Vatican and crafted watches with a cardinal red dial for their distinguished guests of the Holy See. But that's another story. And now to the best part, new releases, and today we have some interesting pieces in terms of mechanics and design, but let's do it step by step. So first on the list, maybe even on your Christmas wish list, is the new Code 1159 Star Wheel by Audemars Piguet. And we were lucky enough to be among the first ones to see it in the flesh and to check how it fits on the wrist. Fits nicely. So this 41mm black ceramic case is adorned with an 18-carat white gold bezel and a double-glared proofed sapphire crystal. It's 10.7mm thick, and inside there is a next-generation self-winding caliber 43 10 with a power reserve of 70 hours. So the dial is made from aventurine, but before you ask, it doesn't move. What's moving here are the sub-dials of the satellites. The three discs rotate on their own axes, like planets in the tiny universe of the dial. And the top 120 degree arc of the dial is the minute scale, and numbers around the bezel indicate second, as this piece features a long central second hand in comparison to the original AP Star Wheel of the 90s, a piece I always really liked, especially the platinum version. Let's make things simple. So when you pull the crown, it stops the second, and when you turn it, well, you can see the satellite system move with each disc spinning gradually to show the hour. So this system is quite similar to what we talked about last month with the Uhrwerk Spock Edition, but it was AP who came up first with this idea of satellites in 1991, and it was actually a reinvented wandering hour system created in the 17th century following a special request from Pope Alexander VII. One more connection between the Holy See and watchmaking. Next is not a watch, but a clock from around 5. And we have its older brother, the Sculpture of Time, right behind me, showing time passing on a linear scale. So same principle with this new one called the Ulysses. And around 5 is from Lausanne. It's a fruitful collaboration between engineer Antoine Lorette and designer Philippe Vallat, two guys who have been working together for years, working on some very interesting developments for different brands. But at one point, they decided to work on something they could actually show. So to begin with, this clock is cool because it looks like the hands without the dial, but it is actually the dial. And the moving sun serves as an indication of hours. Time is read through the window cut into the main shape, where the vertical line drawn on the sun aligns with the indexes. The Ulysses weighs 2.2 kilo, but works on AA batteries, which you'll need 5 for more than 1 year of work. So according to its creator, the clock pays homage to another clockmaker, George Nelson, and his famous wall clocks in the shape of the sun. Well, I think it could be a great Christmas present, and for info, it's a limited edition of 100 pieces, and the one we have here is actually the prototype. Speaking of presents, well, here is another one for someone who already has everything, or maybe just doesn't like to wear a wristwatch. The Sublimation One Mechascape by Code 41. For sure, this timekeeper is one of a kind jewel and pushes the interpretation of watchmaking to another territory. This is a seriously crazy art object, the size of a smartphone, and simply feels good to hold and to look at. Wrapped in a titanium case, the movement is a deconstructed Sellita movement, but totally reinterpreted, and consists of 237 parts. You have the winding crown on the one side, and fully wound, you have 8 days of power reserve, which you can read with this indicator. And opposite to this, you have the time setting crown, and just above it, you have a date quick set pusher. Time is read on 3 separate dials for hours, minutes, and seconds on a fully skeletonized display, and you also have another dial for a second time zone. You can leave it on display as it is now, or you can actually use it as some kind of pocket watch, and for this you have this fancy leather holder. So definitely a good looking Christmas present, but it doesn't come cheap, around 10,000 Swiss franc, but I really like the idea. And for the coming holidays and the wintry spirit that comes along, you can try and get a wristwatch, but not just a simple one. And I'm talking about MBNF LM Flying T Ice and Blizzard Edition, which is a truly amazing collaboration with a young but already famous French jeweler, designer called Emmanuel Tarpin. If you haven't seen his work yet, well, it is high time to do so. And as you can guess, MBNF used his creativity to decorate two of their legacy flying T watches. And it's not the first time Maximilien Busser decorates this model with gems. I mean, you can, for instance, check our video on MBNF's collaboration with Bulgari to create an exuberant and shiny timepiece. But this new creation is maybe not as flashy, but rather elegant, and it reflects the idea of a winter wonderland. Each limited to just 8 pieces for both the Ice and Blizzard models are made out of 18-carat white gold with diamonds and lapis lazuli dial. Definitely something to admire. Moving on from high jewelry to more strict and fun design, and another collaboration between Chinese watchmaking brand Barons, which we presented to you a short while ago, and a self-taught Russian watchmaker Konstantin Chaiking, and the result was quite cool, I need to say. It is three limited edition watches called the Ace of Spades, with 200 pieces of each version in ice crystal, black and brown that looks more like orange, and the design comes from one of Chaiking's super famous wrist motons with the Joker's face, but this time more discreet and not as bright and colorful as the original model, and it is said to be the face of a Chinese farmer. Anyways, inside the anti-glare artificial sapphire glass dome, there is a solid SW200 self-winding movement with a power reserve of about 38 hours. The size of this watch is 42mm and 13mm thick. It is made of titanium, so it is quite light and doesn't look too bulky on the wrist. A fair choice if you want to have a wrist moton but can't afford the original model at the moment. And I also like this special titanium version that we've never seen before. And let's finish with an elegant touch of two new models from A. Lange & Söhne, one with a rattrapant complication, also known as a split seconds chronograph or double chronograph for some, and you have another one with the time zone complication for avid travelers. The latter is available in 18 karat pink gold and white gold as well, as in a yellow gold version of 100 watches. The case has a diameter of 41.9mm and a height of 10.9mm, and a timeless classic with soft colors and a sleek design. I mean, the same could be said about the 1815 Rattrapant, which is the first pure split-seconds chronograph from the German brand. Despite the technical complexity of the manual-wound caliber L101.2, its height is only 12.6mm and its diameter is 41.2mm. Limited to 200 pieces in platinum and 100 pieces in honey gold, I mean, this watch is available exclusively at in Lange Boutique. So we're finally getting close to the end of this prime time, and until Christmas, well, we'll have a few more cool video reports coming your way. One, for instance, coming back on this year's surprising double winner of the GPHG in the men's and women's complication with Le Temps Voyageur by Hermès, a follow-up of Jean-Claude Beaver and his son's endeavor regarding the brand that they're launching, and a few other more, of course. So thanks so much for watching, for the lovely interaction we enjoy with you. Thanks even more so to our patrons, which makes this possible. And see you real soon. The very best, and viva watchmaking!